Our ministry theme here at Myers Memorial for 2018 is conversations. So for the last several weeks, we've looked at that here in our community context and worship. We've looked at conversations, how conversations as Christians start with God, and how our understanding of how we think about other people and the way that we relate to other people start with how God describes and thinks about other people. We've thought about how what to do when conversations get tense, and how to have those conversations with grace and with integrity. And this morning, we talk about how conversations focus on God's Word. And so I invite us to think about how we focus. And I invite us to focus now our attention on God's Word. The Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, the temptation story of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, I invite you to hear now God's Word. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. So conversations that focus on God's word. When we think of this word focus, we think about somebody or something that has one thing and one thing only on their mind. I think of the Olympian athletes that we've perhaps been watching the last couple of days. The Winter Olympics are going on, and perhaps you've watched one of those athletes before their particular sport began. And they stand there almost in a stoic position. You can see their mind, their hearts, their determination, and their focus. Likely at that moment, they have one thing on their mind. That is to finish and win. Focus. Their focus and their attention, all of those years of planning and preparation, and all of those days and nights of excruciating practice, and all of those long hours spent not doing perhaps things that other folks their age were enjoying doing. They were committed to a particular sport. And so there the figure skater enters the ice rink. Focus. The ski jumper gets ready for the moment. Focus. The cross-country skier is there in position. Focus. Or I think about our scouts who are here today, and those who have achieved the rank and honor of being an Eagle Scout. Days, months, years of focus. Focus on achieving one goal. I'm sure there were many distractions along the way. And yet, those young men, through the support of family and friends and leaders, were able always to turn their focus towards attaining that rank and honor of being an Eagle Scout. This morning in our scripture, we encounter Jesus. We encounter Jesus who's been led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been fasting. He's been fasting, and here along comes the devil to tempt Jesus. Where will Jesus find his focus? Where will he find his spot to look to in order to survive the temptation from the devil? So Jesus and the devil enter a conversation. Yes, friends, the devil and Jesus had a conversation. The devil says to Jesus, "Aren't you hungry, Jesus? I mean, it's been 40 days. Surely you're starving. And if you are really the Son of God, I mean, if that's really who you are, then you'll change these stones into some food that you can eat and satisfy your hunger." Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone." Well then, so the devil takes him up to the very pinnacle of the top of a high mountain. And he says to him, "If you are really the Son of God, if really that's who you are, then you're going to save yourself. If I pushed you off this mountain, you would save yourself." And Jesus says in response, "Do not put the Lord God to the test." So the devil continues on. The devil's quite persistent in the conversation with Jesus. And the devil says to Jesus again from the top of a mountain, "Come on, Jesus. You can't really be that strong and that focused. Come on. Just fall down and worship me. I'll make you happy. I'll make your life complete. Just worship me," says the devil. And Jesus says, "The Lord God commands that you worship God and God alone." Out of here, devil. Away with you, Satan. Jesus and the devil entered into this conversation. It's almost as if we have two very wise characters relying on all of the knowledge that they possibly can both attain about God. You see, the devil is wise and crafty, as we found the devil throughout Holy Scripture. Remember the serpent in the story of Adam and Eve, the wise and crafty one that convinced Adam and Eve it would be okay if they ate that fruit. Surely God didn't mean that. So here we have that wise and craftiness of the devil that's coming up to Jesus and is saying, "If you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, surely, Jesus, you really want to worship me." The devil enters into the conversation fully aware of the conversation and fully aware of the touchy points perhaps for Jesus. I want us to pay attention to what Jesus does in the midst of that conversation. Jesus relies on focus. Focus that comes from a deep, deep, deep integration of God's word. You remember that Jesus is a Jewish man. So Jesus was formed in the Jewish faith. And Jesus here relies on all that Jesus knows about God's word. And he quotes three times as the devil has conversation with him. He quotes three times from the book of Deuteronomy. From that tradition that Jesus has been formed in his faith, he focuses his attention on God's word. Well, the devil realizes the first time when he says to change those stones into something and to eat, the devil realizes what the Jesus does. He realizes that Jesus responds with God's word. And so that's why the devil the next time decides he's going to play with God's word. And the devil says, "Well, God's word says that the angels are going to protect you." And yet again, Jesus, so grounded and focused in God's word, responds once again, "Don't put God to the test." Friends, you see what's happening here? This conversation that's going on between two individuals, the devil and Jesus is consistently and constantly relying on God's word for Jesus's focus. When Jesus gets put to the test, any time that Jesus is put through the test throughout Holy Scripture, Jesus always responds with Scripture. Jesus always responds with God's Word. You and I are invited to be so deeply immersed in the Word of God that when we enter those temptation moments in our life, we, like Jesus, can find our focus, our motivation, our desire to persevere because God's Word is deeply a part of who we are. When we find those moments that we're perhaps wandering out in the wilderness, and likely, friends, we've all had those moments. Sometimes 40 days seem like 40 years when we're wandering and we're searching. And we feel far, far away from those things that we want answers about. And we, like Jesus, are challenged in those moments to find our focus, to find our focus from God's Word. In fact, those of us who call ourselves Wesleyans, so those of us who are United Methodist, those of us who are deeply ingrained in a Wesleyan faith, a Methodist faith that has received sort of formation from John Wesley, we're invited. John Wesley says that he was a person of one book. He was a person of one book. So when John Wesley entered into conversations, those conversations that Wesley entered into always had at the heart of them a focus on God's Word. Because Wesley himself claimed to be a man of one book. How is it that you and I can be people of one book? People that are so deeply ingrained in God's Word that wherever the wilderness we find ourselves, whatever temptation arrives in our life, we can stay focused on the Word of God. Again, as Wesleyans, we're invited to use into practice something that we call the Wesleyan quadrilateral. A quadrilateral has four sides. For those of us who are geometry scholars in the room, a quadrilateral has four sides. And so for a Wesleyan quadrilateral, there are four things that come into conversation that help us to stay focused on God's Word. Four things. And those four things are first and foremost, the primary is Scripture. Remember John Wesley, a man of one book. In order for us to stay focused on God's Word, we must be people of one book that deeply know God's Word, and that when we enter into conversation, we come from a focus on God's Word. So first, Scripture. And then there's tradition. What is it that the church, throughout all of tradition, early church up until the present moment, what is it the church has thought or taught about this particular idea? And then reason comes into this conversation. So we have Scripture, we have tradition, and then we have reason. What rationally makes sense? And then we have experience. What does my experience teach me about this particular item? What does experience have to say? My experience and the experience of my brothers and sisters. So Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience all enter into conversation together. And when you and I enter into those kinds of theological conversations where we rely on Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, our focus can be found on God. Our focus can be found on God. So when I stand at the bedside of someone going in to major surgery, and I offer to be present in that moment and have a prayer with that individual, and then the individual looks back at me and says, God's got this, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There, friends, is the kind of depth and strength and focus on God's word that we need. I remember the very first funeral that I got to help officiate. It was during seminary, and it was for a woman named Mrs. Flincham. Mrs. Flincham was this elderly woman who I had had the opportunity to visit a number of times during that internship. And Miss Flincham died, and so it was time to have her funeral. And her family came and asked us if we would offer the privilege of reading from Miss Flincham's Bible at her funeral. They asked me if I'd read from Miss Flincham's Bible at her funeral. So number one, I'm scared to death because it's the first funeral that I'm participating in, and I certainly don't want to mess anything up. And now I've been given this book that belonged to Miss Flincham, and asked if I would read from it. When I sat there and turned to the page of scripture in Psalm 23 that her family wanted me to read, I realized that Miss Flincham's life had been a life focused on God's word. The pages of her Bible were literally falling apart. The cover of the Bible was tattered and torn. And when you opened up the pages, there were some that were torn a bit. And Miss Flincham wasn't afraid to write in her Bible, because all over her Bible, all over these pages of God's words were notes and things that she'd learned and heard and experienced. And so that day, as I stood before the congregation and read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I read it from a Bible of a person who had lived their life focused on God, focused on God's word. I knew that that person had faced many temptations and many trials, and perhaps herself had entered into many conversations with the devil. And yet I knew, just from holding her Bible, where her focus had come from. This week we begin our Lenten journey. We begin a journey that takes us towards the cross where our Jesus the Christ was crucified. I invite us during these days to find that same kind of focus that Jesus had, and that same kind of focus that parishioners have as I stand at their bedside and they quote scripture to me before going into surgery. The same kind of focus that Miss Flincham had on God's word. As you journey towards Easter, may you find time and moments in your lives to deeply immerse yourself in God's word, so that all the conversations you enter, the conversations with God and the conversations with one another, will come from a place where you have been focused on God and God alone. Friends, it doesn't mean that you have to have scripture memorized. It doesn't mean that you have to be exactly like Jesus and confront the person in the face with a verse of scripture. Rather, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to allow your life to be changed, to allow the words of this book, the greatest love story that has ever been written, to allow that love story to change your life and your heart, so that each and every conversation you engage in will be focused on God and God's word. May it be so for us, the people here at Myers Memorial. Amen.